We're on page 462. We learned yesterday the first two psukim, the first two psukim of Perek Beis, and we learned all the mefarshim on the page that we're going to learn. The only thing we did not yet learn is the Likutei Shas. Likutei Shas, here's the Maamar Chazal on the very bottom, page 462, Pasuk Beis. V'oshku gever ubeisoi v'ish nachalosei. Extortion. Man will steal, will force his fellow man to release his home. And the ish nachalosai, this poetic repetition, gever and ish, two words here referring to man. Then general's a very curious idea of all the different terms that Hashem that we have in Tanakh for man. There's an ish, a gever, adam, tzaddik, all different types of terms that you can use in reference to a man. And in this pasuk there are two, gever and ish. And in regard to gever, we have a base. So in regard to ish, there is nachalosai. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, get on page 462 at the very bottom, Chodesh Shas. Ma'idach se v'yoshku gever uveisa v'ish nachal v'nachalose ma'isa v'ademecha v'chnosen ina v'ish es rabbi. V'shulya de Nagori Hava, he was a carpenter. He was a, shulya means he was an apprentice. He was an apprentice by his master. It's a very famous chazal, it's a chazal which is used, this is quoted, look at the Gemara, Daf Nun Chesem and Aleph. This Gemara is discussed on Tisha B'Av. Every so often you'll read a book on Tisha B'Av, they'll cite this very frightening Gemara. So what's the story? He was a carpenter. Pamachas Chutzrach Rabba Lilvois. The student. The rabbi here means the boss, correct. Rabbi here does not a rabbinic figure. Rabbi means his master. The master was not necessarily a Talmud Chacham. He was not a rabbinic figure.
His boss.
Just the way the Chazal referred to a boss means rabbi is your master. He's v'shulga de Nagari Hava. He was a shulya. He means an apprentice of a carpenter. Pamachas. One time, hutzroch rabbi lilvois. The master, I guess, wanted to expand his business and needed investments. He needed money to borrow to expand the business. Omar loy. Shager ishtecha etzliva alvena. So the apprentice said to the master, you know, I'll help you out. I have money saved away. Send your wife to my home, v'alvena. I will give her the money. The money is stashed away under my mattress in my home. Let her come to my house, and I'll give her the money. Shiger ishtoi etzloi. Shoha ima shloisha yamim. Now, it's very bizarre, okay, what exactly this means over here. He was able somehow to delay, she did not go back to her husband for 3 days. Kodam, now what happened? Doesn't say what happened. Doesn't say exactly what he did to her. Kodam uba etzloi. So he went, he got a little bit nervous. Where's my wife? Omar loy. Ishti sheshagarti lucha heichani. Where is she? Omar loy. Pitarti la altar. What do you want from me? She came, I gave her the money, she left. She was here for 5 minutes. I don't know what happened to your wife. But Vishamati, here's where this fellow begins to manipulate things. He says, it's a lot. He locked her up. Not exactly clear what he did to her. He locked her up. He told her, whatever happened, that's not clear. But he lied, and he told the master, I didn't do anything to your wife. She came, I gave her the money. But Vishamati, I heard, Shehatinoi kois nis'alulu ba baderech. I heard not such good things. I heard the children nis'alulu baderech, that this means, it seems like she did some things that are not proper. Okay? Nis'alulu means they committed a crime. Okay? It simply means, it means alila. Alila means they said not nice things. They insulted her. Asher nisalalti the mitzrayim and mocked her. They mocked her. So the word mocking is not such a simple word. It means, I think what it means over here, and very simply, is that she did avera. She did avera. She was playing games. She went around to the young men. Even though here we call them tindoikos. It means young people. She played around. She fooled around. There are not such good rumors about your wife. I heard she went out to checked out the nightlife in the community to see what's going on over here. Omar loy. So the master said to the apprentice, Mo'ese, What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? My wife is not loyal to me. My wife is fooling around. Omar loy. So the apprentice, I think the best thing you should do is you should divorce her. You have a wife, and the wife is not loyal to you. What do you need this for? Omar loy, imata shemea latsasi. Gorsha, divorce her. Omar loy, the master said, I can't. I can't afford to pay the ksuba. See, the ksuba here works. The ksuba here, actually, the purpose of a ksuba is it's wife insurance. It's to prevent a man from coming home one night and the wife burns his dinner. Dinner is not on the table, so what does the husband do? You don't know how to make dinner, you don't serve me, get lost. Here's your get. He scribbles a get, and he calls in the two neighbors, and he gives her the get, and they're divorced. That's something which seemed, the Chazal were very concerned, shloite kala be'enav lehoitzia. So what did Chazal do? If you want to divorce your wife, you're going to have to pay $50,000. That's what a ksuba is today. Ksuba really is about at least $50,000. What it costs to live comfortably for a year. What does it cost to have a regular person today?
I said in the 60s it was
$50,000. No, I didn't think it was that much. What does it cost today for a single person to live comfortably today? To rent an apartment, have insurance, basic food.
It costs to be stuff free to survive for a year.
For a year. So what does it cost for the average person to survive? I don't think you know, you just have to live a life of luxury.
Yeah.
Okay. So
today was $100,000.
What?
$100,000.
$100,000 to live a year. I'm sorry. I don't think it costs $100,000 to live a year. I think it's a little bit.
For 1 year.
1 year.
And the rest of her life, she has to.
She has to manage herself. The rest, she's during that 1 year, she has to find a solution. It's not shaykh to say $100,000, I'm sorry. The average person, the average family doesn't make $100,000 after taxes and everything is said and done. Whatever it is, okay, listen, whatever it is, it is. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for the average person. It's a lot of money. Therefore, a man's going to think twice. Can I afford to get divorced? That's the question the Chazal wanted to put into a person's mind. I'm not happily married. Can I afford to get divorced? If you want to get divorced, get divorced, because then who's stopping you? But can you afford to do so? And the average person will say, I cannot. And it's not a good idea. He'll hold back. And in the meantime, he'll come to realize, you know, she's not so bad. I'm pretty lucky.
That's what that pasuk was, that it's, she burned some of the food. And she says,
it's your portion. Honey, it's your portion. Not my portion.
Okay,
so that's what a ksuba is all about. That's what it's all about. So he gives it. So therefore, ksuba, Amallah, you know what? So this fellow says, you know what? I'll lend you the money. Better you should be happy and not be concerned about live a miserable life. Ani alvecha v'sein lo kisuba. So I will lend you the money. I'll give you the ksuba. So he did listen. So he owed him doubly. You know, he borrowed money for his business. And he also borrowed money to give the ksuba. Omad zeh v'gerish, he divorced her. Halachu, and now this fellow, this all was Saif Maisa b'machshava techila, this all was a devious plan. He really liked this lady. The one who lent the money, he locked her up. Whatever he did to her, he prevented her from going home for 3 days, whatever he did. And all because he liked her very much, he wanted to marry her. And he came up with this plan. And the plan was, now he convinced the master to divorce her. And then he went, and he in turn went and convinced her to marry him. Indeed, Amar Zevigersha Halachu Unasa Kevon Shegiyas Man of Lahoyla Leparoi. Now the master owes him the money for the ksuba and for the business. He owes him a lot of money. Amar Loi. So he says to his master, "Listen, tables are turned. Now you're going to have to work for me. You owe me money. You have failed to pay me back on time. So you know what? Come, be my servant. Come into my home. You can paint the house. You can be the waiter. You can be the waiter. You can be the busboy. You can be the butler in my home." So he had no choice. And now this fellow, the apprentice, who is now married to his master's wife, they're sitting at the dining room table. And who's the waiter? The old husband. Wow. Now, in court, is this legal? You bet it is. In Beis Din, is this legal? You bet it is. This, you have not violated one one mashahu of any halacha or any law. There's absolutely no violation of halacha or law in this case. But let
me
ask, what?
Immoral.
Is it moral? Zero. On a scale of 1 to 10, minus 10.
Right.
That's exactly what we discussed. That's what we discussed yesterday.
Right.
Halacha is okay.
That goes under the category of Ish
HaYashar Vieh Nov. That goes under the category of novel Bereshus HaTorah. A disgusting person that behaves 100% within the framework of the halacha, of the Torah. So here's the example. They were sitting. What? Why is it like Sachmoy?
He obviously coveted the wife, he coveted the house, he coveted the business. So,
But you can't prove it. You can't prove it. You can say it's just a coincidence. You can't prove it. Right? You can't prove it. What do you mean I coveted his wife? You can't prove it to me. What you're saying is correct, but this is all where you're able to get away with murder. In halacha, you can literally get away with murder. You can get away with avodah zarah. You just had to know how to maneuver. You're smart enough, you know how to maneuver, you can get away with everything and anything. However, in Shamayim, in heaven, they know your game. They know your game, and they'll hold the person accountable. Tears began to fall from the cheeks of this man, the husband, and his tears, it dripped into the goblets of the apprentice who is now married to his wife. The Alois Hashah, look what it says in Chazal this Gemara in Gittin, this is the Tishbev Gemara, Mischatein Gzardin Al Churban Beis HaMikdash. And this was it. This was the moment when in Shemayim it was handed down, it's over. The Churban will take place. There was no violation of Halacha, no violation of any Dina de Malchus Adina, but this is not Yashus. The Amri Lo, and some say Al Shtei Psilos Bener Echad Kolaymar Al Shazina Talmud and Eishes Rabbi, and that's a different story. Some say the Churban took place. There was Shtei Psilos Bener Echad. The Ner is the woman. The Psilos refers to a student, and the one is the student. It's a different story. Okay, that's a different story, which is not relevant to our discussion over here. But this is exactly what it means. V'chamdu sadais v'gazalu uvatim v'naso. So here it appears, what appears according to the Chazal, they're also troubled with the unusual word v'naso. Everyone here on the page, that's like, you know, the topic of discussion. That is where all the action is on this pasuk. What in the world does it mean here, the word v'naso? How does a person pick up a bias and carry it away? Doesn't exist such a thing. Maybe today with technology, but it's not what it, but what does it mean over here? That's why everyone had a new take on these words. We had the Rashi. Rashi was very pashut. K'moy vilo kachu. It just means to take. In the Mitzvot Davar we learned yesterday, how did he translate the word? Vilo kachu? He just said the Ashku Geber didn't even translate it. He just said the Nasalaku. He did the same. The Mitzudos Siyon. Okay, he said the same thing, exactly the same thing as Rashi. The Radak was a bit more creative. It was the same thing. It's Vilokaku. So far three, but then we had number four, the Targum, and the Targum the Nasohu is Miloshin of Oines, the Onsin. The unsin. So how do you go from the word v'nasahu to unsin? Maybe you want to change the sin with the samach and onus. Onus means to force. Aleph and nun samach. Nun samach are two of the three letters of the shoresh of onus. It's aleph, nun, samach. The nun and the samach, the aleph is a weak letter in this case. The nun and the samach are here. And it appears from the Targum, he learns it means that you force a person to release property, even with for money, like extortion. I'll pay you. I don't want to sell. I don't want to sell for all the money in the world. It has meaning to me, this piece of property. The fellow says, too bad for you. I don't care all the meaning in the world. I want it. I don't want to get into trouble with the law. I'll pay you double of what the going rate is, so no one can come to me and put me in jail for doing anything wrong. Double. It's on record. Go online. Public record. I pay you double. And you're going to say that I forced you? Ha ha. Who's going to believe you? Who's going to believe you that I forced you? Even no one can see that I put a gun to your head and force you to sell it to me, sign the documents. Online, it says I paid you double the amount of money, and I did. That's the way it is. That's corruption. That's according to the Targum. It's ready, so that's the second parish. And then we had the Malbum. The Malbum learned Vinosot.
By the way, this whole thing is Begeder Lota Shok.
It's Begeder
Shok, not Lot Exor.
Oh,
so it's like if you said, oh,
correct.
Tomorrow, I'll pay you tomorrow. Tomorrow, give me a bad check. And say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll give you another check. And then...
It's Oshek. Right, so...
It's also Oshek.
It's a... Right, according to the...
It's an Avera.
What?
It is an Avera.
Of course.
It's a love.
Of course. But it's we have both words here are juxtaposed. V'nasahu and v'oshiku. So what exactly is the difference between the two words? It's not so simple. According to the Targum says v'nasahu v'loshen of onus. Nun samach, which means we're interchanging the sin for a samach, which is not so uncommon. The Malbim taught us v'noso comes from the expression noisei v'noisein, business. You engage in unethical business behavior, and according to the Chazal, v'noso is coming to allude to marriage. You married the fellow's wife. You liked her so much. You manipulated and maneuvered yourself in order to do things that they should get divorced so you can come along and marry her. Lashon of Nisuin, marriage. So we have four different perushim on one word in the pasuk, all in this theme of describing something which is unethical behavior. Everything is legal. According to the common denominator appears, according to all of the Perushim, everything is legal. You can get away with it. But it's not correct. In the Kinois, it says by when the Churban took place, so that when we describe the details of the Churban, when Titus, Akina Tes Zayin, Zechor Asher Osa Tsar Bifinim, remember what the enemy did inside the Kodesh, inside the Heichal. And it describes the moment of Churban. It describes when Titus HaRasha comes into the Beis HaMikdash and he defiles the Beis HaMikdash. He comes in with boots that have spikes and everyone is watching and everyone thinks he's going to be a bolt of lightning, he's going to come out of the Shemaim and destroy him, but nothing happens. And he proceeds with the Kodesh HaKodashim, with the Sefer Torah. He rolls in the Sefer Torah. Chazal say he was Mezaneh with his mother, that was Oman, with a Zoyna, and it says that he stabbed the Paroiches, and blood came gushing out. But the first thing it says in that Kina was, as he passed through the Heichol, V'timei Lechem Haponim. He contaminated the Lechem Haponim. What does that mean? What is it coming to say, Timei Lechem Haponim? So the answer is this pasuk. The Lechem Aponim is the symbol of the Parnasa, the Shefa of Parnasa for Klal Yisrael. In the Heichel, there's the Menorah, it's the Torah, there is the Ketores, represents Avoy, the Davening, and there is the Shulchan, this represents Parnasa. It's a symbol of Parnasa, it's the Mokom, Hashem is Mashpia, represents Hashem is Mashpia. He bestows upon Klal Yisrael a shefa, a bestowal of blessing that we should have parnasa. And Titus contaminates the lechem upon him. What does that mean? By destroying the Beis HaMikdash and sending Klal Yisrael into Golos, we become a guest in host countries. And the standards of business ethics among the Goyim are very, very low. And unfortunately, when we live amongst them, we behave like them. We look for legal loopholes in order to acquire wealth in unethical ways. And we get so absorbed in the culture and society of taking advantage when we can get away with it that we sell our souls to the devil. We lose all sense of morals and values. And then what happens? The worst thing, I always tell you this, the worst thing is when we get caught. We do things that are not so nice. Especially taking money from the government. The government's giving out money. And we somehow maneuver ourselves to take more than we really are entitled to. And then when we get caught, what do we say? Well, the goyim do it. This is what the Umos HaOlam do. So if they can do it, so we also could do it. Don't you realize it's not right? It's not ethical. It's not moral. There are things that, of course, are correct, but to abuse the system, to totally exploit loopholes where you know it's just not the Derech HaTorah to do something like this, and then to respond to an accusation, well, the Goyim do it. So this is a victory for Titus. This is Titus was mitame the lechem upon him. We're not like the Goyim. You want to be like the Goyim? Is that the goal of Yadus? The goal of Yadus is we should be just like the Goyim, behave like them, follow their morals, their ethics. We're not like the Goyim. We're better than the Goyim. You want to chas v'sholom be like the Goyim?
What's the poshut of Shabbat on the top? He touched it?
Yeah, he touched it. Touched it. You satisfied with that? You satisfied with that pshat?
That's
the Avada is the poshut of pshat. Avada. That's what we need the kina for.
Well,
you satisfied with that pshat?
If a czar would walk in...
What?
Let's say during the existence of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
A Jewish czar would walk in for the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, could he get that far?
No. Technically, he's allowed to. Yes, technically, v'chol zar lo yeh ba'kodesh. Only in the kodesh hakodashim is there an iser derais, I believe, for a zar. Certainly, they didn't let him in. There's no question about it. They did not even let him get past the first 11 amos. Only time it appears that he was allowed was when he brought a carbon.
But as a physical guard, they
didn't let him in. L'chayre, yeah, I would assume so. I would assume it was the physical, they were guards. I assume so. The first 11 amos of the Azar, approximately 22 feet, Chazunish Shir, 22 feet, a Yisrael was allowed to stand there and watch. After that, it's called the Ezras Koyhanim, the next 11 amos, Koyhanim can go there. And then the rest was off limits. That's only for the Koyhanim who are doing the Avodah. When a person brings a korban, it would appear that he was allowed to go all the way closer to be with the kohen when he did, to do smicha, to be present at the moment of the place of smicha right before the shechita was done. Erev Pesach, it seems pretty clear. What? The shechita kashera bazaar. If you're doing the shechita, then a Yisrael certainly can come that close. What about even a soita? A woman was brought into the heichal. Okay, so there's no question that an erev Pesach. It seems pretty clear that Yisraelim came all the way in, even all the way, all the way behind the kodesh hakodashim. It says they went all. They used up the entire space. Now, what about going into the heichal itself? L'chora not. You're not allowed to go in there. What as if a person goes in there, is there a loisa say? I don't believe so. I don't believe there is a loisa say for a Yisrael to go into the Heichal. To go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Even a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go there except for Yom HaKippurim. Now, if a Yisrael, to answer your question, if a Yisrael goes all the way in and touches the Lechem upon him, it's Tahar. As long as he is Tahar, the Lechem upon him is Tahar. Titus is a guy. He's Tamei. He's a goymar, have a status of a zov, Chazal say. He's an avatumah. So if he touched the lechem upon him, immediately the lechem upon him becomes a rishay. So the pshut shel bekeres, he come, he passed by v'tim lechem upon him. Is that all it means? That's what we need Rabbi Elazar HaKalir to tell us, tim lechem upon him? Thank you very much. Obviously, there's a lot more depth. What is the depth? Okay, you don't like my pshat. I accept. I accept. I accept. 100%. But obviously, there's something a lot more going on by Tito Sarosh by telling us. The first thing is Metamid Lechem Apanim. It's defining what is the Churban of Klal Yisrael. The Churban of Klal Yisrael is our Parnasa that we have today. Lechem Apanim clearly is a reference to Parnasa. Our Parnasa is Tomei. Unfortunately, in Golus, we have no choice. B'zeas apecha toicha lechem. We have to bring home the bread. And bring home the bread is not a pleasant thing to do. And unfortunately, in many dimensions, it requires a person to sell his soul to the devil. He has to engage in activity which he has very difficult nisyonos. And even in the method of actually bringing in the money, go into a store and they say to you, how many times have you gone to a store and they say to you, they give you the charge, okay, how are you going to pay? And you take out your credit card and they say to you, if you pay cash, there's no tax. No tax. If you give me your credit card, there's nothing I have to charge you tax. So that is one. So what do I do? Pay cash, right? That is 100% illegal. That is gezel.
No. Because they may be absorbing the tax
themselves. Ooh, you're coming on to a lot of lumbness here. I highly doubt.
The law is, if you want to say that, you have to say it on the board in the store that taxes included. You must say that.
I highly doubt they're absorbing. They're going to pay tax. I highly doubt that. There's a whole collection of books.
They didn't have that sign up.
It's on their head.
You're making excuses.
There was a billboard on Flatbush.
When it comes to matzah, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, average Ben Torah, okay, comes into the store. No, only a simple question. I'm talking to myself. You come in to buy a pair of tefillin. Buy with new ritzus, okay? So how much does it cost to buy a pair of new ritzus? So they say, well, we have a lot of different types. You have the regular, costs about $40, even cheaper. Then there is higher quality, 45, 50. Avodas Yad. Avodas Yad. There was no machine used to cut. 60. Then there's this chumrah, 70. Then there's this $95 for a pair of it. So this Ben Torah says, you know what? I want to be mahader. I want to wear the best ritzuas with the biggest chumrahs that exist in the world. With the biggest chumrahs. Here you go, $95. I want the bet. But it's kosher. The $35 ritzuas is 100% kosher. No. I want the $95 pair of ritzuas. Okay, very nice. Next, I want to buy the sefer. How much is it? Well, if you give me your credit card, I'm going to charge you tax. If you pay, give me cash, there's no tax. Here's cash. What do you mean? Isn't it gezel? Gezel! You're stealing money. It's not really gezel. It's a lom shavar because maybe there's a sveka. Maybe the store will absorb the tax. It's not my problem. It's your problem. And the government, there may be some legal loopholes and there's a sign over here somewhere in the store. And the goyim do this. The goyim do this also. This is what the goyim do. They do this. They go into the candy store. What?
Are they that smart?
Yes, they are. They're even smarter. Their schemes are even more sophisticated than ours sometimes. And you go into the store next door. They do the same thing. No. It can be mako. What's the chiluk? Why is it that when it comes to mamon, when it comes to gezel, why they're... We're looking for the greatest leniencies. And when it comes to the ritzuos, what's the chiluk? L'cha'ora, it's a much bigger mitzvah to buy the $35 ritzuos and to pay the tax when you buy the sefer.
There's no tax on ritzuos.
What? What's the joke? Why? I don't see. Why is this such a litzonis? Why is this? I really don't understand why this is such a litzonis. What is the Iker? What is the Iker? You have over here two different transactions being done by Vasachas to buy the Ritzuos, to buy the Ritzuos.
I don't know if you're allowed to really harp on this because a lot of us are guilty. And we're not going to change.
I'm guilty.
We're not changing, so let's.
I'm guilty, so we should change. What kind of excuse is that? What did you just say? What, I understand. Let's be real. Let's be real. You go. First, goes to a doctor. I don't want to tell you what's really wrong with you because if you really know what's wrong with you, you may have to take medicine. You may have to have surgery. You may have to do this. May have to do that. So you know what? Don't tell me. And then the person, he dies the next day. I mean, deal with.
It is
that fast. I don't understand. Why is there such resistance? Why is this? We have to be aware of the reality. If you don't want to follow the reality, that's fine. But we have to be aware of the reality. Why is it that when it comes to Dinei Mominus...
I'm sure.
Your opinion doesn't mean it's right.
You're sure there's another opinion?
No, I don't know. Logically, I agree.
That's the problem.
There's another...
And I'm sure there are those that say, no, it's okay.
Yeah, of course.
I'm talking about.
And I'm sure there are opinions that say wearing the $35 ritzuos is also okay.
Excuse me?
The $35 ritzuos, it's also okay.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
And that lasted more. That's all.
I really don't understand where you're coming from. I really honestly do not understand.
Problem, and I don't know if just talking about is a solution. Where we have the solution is in school, at home.
The solution's right here. The solution's right here. There's nowhere to go. I'm presenting you two simple situations. And the minhag olam is when it comes to money, you're looking for the biggest, we are all looking for the biggest kulos. And when it comes to these esoteric things, which our grandparents and great-grandparents never even heard of, these chumris and tefillin and yoni segulas and all of these things, no one even heard of these things. Chadoshim labukarim. All of a sudden I feel good. My neshama is cleansed because I do these things. And when it comes to the basics, I'll give you cash, no tax.
So the same person who's writing a sefer Torah comes to the front and he's giving you something for cash. So does that mean that the sefer Torah is not kosher?
No, it doesn't. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. The Sefer Torah is kosher. The person I'm discussing that I'm discussing the person who is coming. Look at this mythical creature. Okay, a person walks into the store and he makes two transactions. I want to buy new ritzuos and I want to buy a sefer. When it comes to the new ritzuos, they present him five levels of chumras, and it's very common. He's going to say, for my tefillin, for me, my ritzuos, I'm getting the best. I'm going to spend $95. And then when I also want to buy this sefer, I'll pay cash. Oh, but it's gezel. I told you, it's gezel. It's not now. So you'll come up with 10 reasons why, al pi halacha, you can be makel. Why you can be lenient. So the same 10 reasons you can be makel, why don't you apply that to the ritzuos to makel? Why is it the attitude... Why is the attitude that when it comes to money, let's the $2, it's only $2, the tax is only $2. You paid for the ritzuos, went from $35 to $95. But for the $2 that you're willing to go to an extreme, why is this the reality? Why is it such a joke even to talk about this?
On the other hand, I want to say something. If somebody goes into a store and he tells you credit card is cash, is bank, and I say, I have a yarmulke on my head, and if I say I want to pay tax, is this Kiddush Hashem?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's Kiddush Hashem or not. It's a matter of doing the right thing.
The Jews are not liars.
Yeah. It doesn't. Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem is not something you look to do. This is something people. It's not a matter. I'm looking to make a Kiddush. I'm looking. That's not the way you live. That's not an approach. You do the right. Chazal already said what is it. You do the right thing. The right thing is not to steal. And it's also a problem. It's much worse because it creates a mindset Today you steal $2. Tomorrow you steal $10. The next day you steal $1,000. The next day you go and you'll steal $1,000,000. When I was in 10th grade, there was a boy. He raised his hand and he asked a question. And the Rebbe knew there is no way in the world this boy can ask this question. And the Rebbe obviously knew, saw what the boy did. He knew, he obviously had background, because the end was, he was totally correct. So obviously there's more to the story. The Rebbe knew that this boy was just trying to, you know, to impress everyone. And he asked a question that totally was out of his league. And the Rebbe basically said, where do you get, basically, that's your question? You're the one? And basically, after an investigation, very quick investigation, the boy basically confessed that he stole it. He plagiarized it. He says he found the question somewhere else. So the Rebbe said, someone today in 10th grade who steals the question of the Rashba and makes believe it's his question, the day will come when he will go out into the world and steal $1,000,000 and end up in jail and make a Chil Hashem on the front page of the New York Times. It's all the same. What did I do wrong? Torah. I stole the Rashba's question. I made believe it's my question. What's the chiluk? I stole a little question. It's a midah. You do it once, you do it again, you do it again. It creates a momentum, an addiction that you can't break out of. This is a very, very big problem. And that's what it's all about. I mean, Timei lechem aponim. We have tremendous nisyonos, and we live in an environment where the goyim will swallow you up. I used to work a lot in marketing, computers, and I was ripped off. I was cheated. It's like not to be believed how people cheat you, and like it's all built into the business. It's all built in that when you purchase certain services. And you can't really check up. There are certain things that you really can't check up on them. It's very hard to validate what they say they're going to do. It's mind-boggling how, like, you know, you get used to it. So then when you're on the other end, and you have to go and provide services, and like you say, oh, so these are the standards of society, so this is what you do.
My father-in-law will show me to say, what's better than a from a yid? An elder.
Frum stands for, what is Frum, Rashi Tevis? No, this is Rashi Tevis.
Oh, wow.
What's the Rashi Tevis of Frum? No, there's a Yiddish expression. Frum stands for full of rishus. Oh, say again? Pretty scary. Avada, of course, in bed. It's the only way. It's not a matter of going into a store and say, oh, I'm going to make a Kiddush Hashem now. I'm going to tell the guy I want to pay tax. Who cares? Who cares? Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? It's a matter of doing the right thing. It's not so. I'm not so impressed. You see in the news sometimes a guy, he finds $1,000,000, right? You hear these stories. Fellow, he buys a thing, opens up the desk, and he finds inside, oh, I found over $100,000. And he calls up the owner, guess what? And they go, all the television cameras come, look at the Kiddush Hashem. Big deal. That's not, the Kiddush Hashem is to be honest in business. To go find the mitzia. You find the mitzia in the street. And you make an announcement, and you give the mitzia, and you present the mitzia. And you present the mitzia, it's very nice, it's beautiful, beautiful, it's a Kiddush Hashem, but it's a much bigger Kiddush Hashem to be honest in your daily business transactions.
So if someone steals from something,
of course, but that's not where you highlight. Unfortunately, we live in a society where on the news, the only thing they get to, what a Kiddush Hashem, someone did something unusual. And what about all the scandals every single day of the regular business practices? If they just would have followed the law, they wouldn't be in the news and they wouldn't be in the papers doing Bing Kiddush Hashem. It would just be, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. Just doing what you're supposed to do is a greater Kiddush Hashem. And not being in the news, than finding $1 million on the street and calling the television cameras and have them come. Oh, look how great Jews are. Look how great Jews are. They find money in the street, they give the money back. That's very, very short-lived. Someone finds $1 million on the street and they call and they add on television. Very nice. It's not going to save us from all the problems that we have. When Jews are honest, ethical people in simple daily business transactions and we're not on the news for incredible things, it goes infinitely further in our success and our survival in Golas. Okay, this whole scandal now about an educational scandal, it's all about money. It's all about, they only present you one side, they make it sound like, oh, it's a shmat. I heard one of the rabbanim said now, it's an esa shmat. The goyim are coming after us to increase the hours in yeshiva. The hours in yeshiva, we have to study 4 hours instead of 3 hours and this and that. And everyone has to write a letter. Absolutely, everyone has to write a letter. You got to do everything you can possibly do. But you know, there's another side to the story. The other side of the story is the government has given the yeshivas hundreds of millions of dollars, and the money was, I'm not going to say the word stolen, but was misappropriated for things that they're not entitled to use the money for. So how come that's not presented? That's not, that side of the story is not presented in the free media. No, because the goyim do it. The goyim do it. Believe me, if the money wasn't misappropriated, we would not be in this matzav now. Guaranteed, if the money would not have been taken and used for who knows what, and would have been spent on what it was meant to be spent on, guaranteed we would not be in the matzav now where they're screaming, it's an esa shmat, it's the darshal shmat, crazy things to hear. What are you talking about? We get ourselves into our problem, we do this to ourselves. It's not about the education, about they want us. In America, it's not Volozhin, they're trying to make us. We should become cultured Americans. It's not what it's about in America. No one's trying to make you into a philosopher to teach you Greek philosophy and to take away your religion from you. That's not the necessity in America. The necessity in America is honesty. It's all it's about. It's about money. It's all in America. It's about the dollar. Nothing more than that. And that should be very easy for us. It should be very easy. Just be honest. No one's going to bother you in America. That's all it's about. It's a very easy nesayin. But yet we make the problem, and no one's going to talk about that. That's because that's not popular. It's not popular to talk about that. And the mussar is because we don't know how to live within our means. We don't know how to live within our means. To live a much simpler life, and everything will be. We don't have to have these crazy hasagas. The hasagas are just totally out of control, and the expenses are escalated to a prices and expenses that are totally out of control. And now we want to maintain it. We have to do the most crazy things to maintain this lifestyle. And that the sign is too great for the average person. They have to come on to all of these terrible things. It's crazy. It's totally crazy.
Rabbi Frank, I think it was Rabbi Frank who had said on the paper. Mentality is an outgrowth of it used to be when in Europe, many years for a long time, the church controlled the government. And it was a mitzvah, Saratav in Yiddish Geld, to take the money back, you know, to take the money from the church, not to enhance their capabilities financially. Uh-huh. And that became, here in America, the same mentality. The trouble is, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
America, that we don't, the church does not control. It's whatever is going on in the government, but it's not, has nothing to do with religion.
It's not religion.
That's all.
This
so
is not. Then this.
You have an obligation to be honest in all walks of life.
The nisyonos of America are not the nisyonos of communist Russia. It's not the nisyonos of communist Russia. It's not. And when we brainwash ourselves that it is, we do these very strange things.
It's the outgrowth of that mentality.
I think you underestimate how much hostility there is.
I don't underestimate.
In the state education commissioner and Andrew Cuomo and all the politicians in New York. We may have brought this on ourselves by our bad behavior, but their motive is not about the money. It's about to destroy any kind of decency and religion in this country.
I respectfully disagree.
These are the same people who just passed the law that you can kill a baby on birth.
I respectfully disagree.
Where do you see that more in Britain, okay, where they're trying to impose...
There is different. There it appears. I don't live there, so I don't know what goes on over there. I don't live there. But there it appears it's rooted in the culture that goes back 1,000 years. America is a land of immigrants. It's a land of just survival. People just want to get by, get through the day. It's a whole different type of culture. I don't know. It appears in Europe it's very different. It's a tradition. It's in their blood. All right, but I don't know why. I don't know why everyone's giving me such resistance. It's kedai to face the reality. What?
Jewish.
It's kedai to look at the world of reality.
We all feel guilty.
See, I have an advantage. See, most people my age, they have children and shidduchim, and they got to keep their mouths shut tight. Because if you say something out of line, you say one word out of line, that's it right away, is it's going to ruin my child shidduch. Really, that's how it is. I know from all my chaverim. You just play the game because you have the sionis you have on your head are overwhelming. And you just get through the day, you got children, Baruch Hashem, you got to marry them off, you're not looking for trouble. Don't break out, don't make trouble. You don't bother them, they won't bother you. So I don't have that in the soil at this point. So sometimes I get a little bit loose. I have loose lips, a loose cannon. And I say things, and people look at me like I'm crazy. Like, how dare you say that?
We all wish
in the same way. What? Amen. Yeshukayach. I appreciate that bracha very, very much. A lot more than you could imagine. A lot more than you could imagine. But there's no question, when I talk to my chaverim, I see things very differently, and it's very clear to me why that's so. It's, people have a lot going on. A lot on their heads, and life is really rough. And it's not worth it. It's just not worth it to rock the boat. But you know, yeah, when you take a step back, yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. Okay, there's no doubt about that. Okay, next pasuk.
Excuse me, if someone takes something from the mitzvah and put it in his not lotasi gevur yachah.
What?
Is not lotasi gevur yachah.
No, we're not discussing lotasi gevur now. Let's go. Next, pasuk gimel. Pasuk gimel. L'chein koyam Hashem hinu nichoshev al ha-mishpoch ha-zois ro'ah. Hashem says, I'm going to now plan upon this mishpacha. Who here is this mishpacha? This is an incredible insight. Klal Yisrael. This is a very, very frightening pasuk. And I'll explain to you in a moment why. Where do you have in Tanakh? Everybody say, where do you have in Tanakh that Klal Yisrael is called a mishpacha? According to the Mitzudos. Never.
Is it mishpacha or mishpacha?
Say the whole pasuk called Mishpacha, Medino, Medino, Ir v'Ir. That was by the Goyim, I think it says.
No.
Say the pasuk. Cite the pasuk. Medino, Medino, v'Ir. You have to find me the pasuk. Look at the pasuk. That's a matter of celebration. It's not a term in that pasuk. We have to look at the pasuk clearly. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, it does not appear that's a description of Klal Yisrael. It appears there that is a form of how to conduct the mitzvah. The mitzvah is done mishpacha, family by family, but it's not a term that we're using to describe the entire Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is always consistently described as a nation. The Umos Ha'olam, on the other hand, Le'osilavoi, is called Al Mishpechois Ho'adamo. What we said in Aleinu? Mishpechois Amim and Mishpechois Ho'adamo. The nations of the world are called just families, like in the in the Orient, the Taliban, they have these in Afghanistan. They have just tribes. So clans and tribes, and it's a very complicated collection of tribes that live with each other with respect and war. The United States has no clue to understand this culture, that they're not looking to have one collective nation. Doesn't work for them. That they need to live in this mode of mishpacha. But Tanakh looks at nations, major nations with superpowers of the world. In Hashem's eyes, there's nothing so sophisticated, nothing so honorable. It's nothing more than just a clan. The whole EU is just one big mishpacha. The Soviet Union is a mishpacha. Okay, everyone is just a big mishpacha. It's an insult almost to take away the dignity of a nation and say you're not a nation. You're not a nation. You're just a mishpacha. Because a nation has malchus. It has laws. It has chashivas. A family. No, you come to a wedding anniversary and you invite your cousins, your nephews, and your uncles. You sit around the table. What, you're gonna have over here a flag, and you're gonna play hail to the chief. When the Rosh HaMishpacha walks in, and there's going to be an Oval Office, and the Rosh HaMishpacha has a Secretary of State, a Secretary of Defense, and he has a limo. Come on, a Mishpacha is a Mishpacha. You come in your old jalopy, and your cell phone needs, so you need to plug in the cell phone to get some more juice to get it to work. What do you think you are? You're just a Mishpacha. So a nation has chashivos. Chazal, the Tanakh, often downgrade and just basically insult. They stab nations. I'll call mishpachos ha'adama, families. Klal Yisrael, that you wouldn't dare do that. Klal Yisrael is the Am Hanifkar. Klal Yisrael is a nation.
What about Shvatim?
In Klal Yisrael, it's not called a mishpach, it's called a shevet. A shevet is a chosh of a word. Shevet means a rod, it means a staff. It's broken down. The nation's broken down into Shvatim. But notice you don't say the nation, it doesn't say anywhere the nation broke down into Mishpachos, doesn't say that anywhere. The word Shevet, in fact, it proves the point. The Shevet means a staff. It means Choshev. You have a staff. And each section, each family, each member of is called a Shevet, not a Mishpacha. Over here, this extremely frightening pasuk. When Micha over here has come to say that Mishpacha is very angry. So when Hashem is angry, He's not just angry in what He does to us, it's the way He views us. You're nothing more than a mishpacha. He's viewing us the same terminology that He looks at the umos ha'olam. L'chein d'yefo k'yamar Hashem hinani choshev al ha-mishpacha ha-zo Yisra'ah. It's bad enough that Hashem is planning ra'ah. What's even worse is Hashem uses the word mishpacha. That's even more frightening. Right, it should be a nation. It's that's even more frightening. Another pasuk. Okay, so it's not only Micha. It's not only Micha, but generally, Klal Yisrael is called a nation. Asher lo yisam. What? Okay, very good. Targum Yonasan use am. I think because he's coming. The Targum is coming to allude to tell us what does it mean. Because the word mishpacha is such a disturbing. What are you talking about? The Targum is coming to tell us who we are referring to. But the word, the actual word, is an insulting word. If you would not know, you have to get the insult. Maybe it's not insulting us. Maybe Hashem is talking to the goyim. Hashem is planning machshav ara on our enemies. Hashem is going to wipe out the enemies. No. You have to understand the insult. Sometimes when you can insult a person, happens to me very often. When you're such a bal gaiva, and someone insults you, you don't even realize they're insulting you. How could someone insult me? I'm so great. You don't even chap. What they're saying to you is an insult. Okay? It takes time until it sinks in. Oh, they were really trying to insult me. Okay? So here as well, it doesn't even register that over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to insult us. So that's why we need the Targum Yonasan and New Zealand to tell us, no, when it says here Mishpacha, I'm referring to Klal Yisrael. Really? You're calling us a mishpacha? But that's what you call the goyim. No, no, I'm calling you a mishpacha because you're behaving like the goyim, so you're also going to be downgraded to a mishpacha. L'chein karma Hashem, hinani choshev al ha-mishpacha ha-zayisra'a, asher lo yisamishu misham tzavro seichem. It's not going to be withdrawn your necks. Now we'll see what this means in a moment, because the word tzavor is also a very powerful word. It goes back to Yosef and Yaakov Avinu. Yosef, he cried on the neck of Binyamin. Not his father. Yosef cried on the neck of Binyamin, and Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. And the tzavor is a code word for the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll come to that one moment. V'lo selchu roima. They're not going to go out. They're not going to go out in an exalted way. See, this fits very well with the word mishpacha. You're not going to be exalted. Ki eis ra'ahi. It's not a good time. Let's right away see the perversion of mitzudos and get more clarity. Al ha mishpacha hazos on page 463. What's the mishpacha? Kara kol Yisrael b'shem mishpacha. V'chein al kol mishpacha mishpacha and omois. He also said that in insulting terms. Okay, it's not as micha, it's also omois. Asher lo yisrael mishu lo tuchal lehosir tzavroi seichem me'oil hara'a hahi. So he learns the word tzavar, it's a code word. It's a metaphor for the yoke. You attach a yoke in oil to the neck of an animal to do hard, crushing labor. The shor, the axe, it pulls the plow. Where do you attach the plow? To the neck. So here it says, you're not going to break out of the yoke of this torture and this unpleasant situation that I'm going to put this mishpacha in when they go into exile. You're going to Galus, you're now going to have upon your neck the oil of the Umay Sa'ilam. They're going to subjugate you. You're going to be slaves to them. You're going to be Meshubu to the Umay Sa'ilam. And don't think you're going to be able to remove this yoke that weighs you down and forces you to behave. It's not going to happen. V'loy selchu ruma, lo selchu b'roy mimos. Ruma here, Roma, is an unusual word. It's not the way you usually use the word. Not the, now we don't have this form. This form is a very uncommon form. Roima. It says Roimimus. V'oilich eschem biyod Roma. Roma, right, Roma.
That's the contrast.
Roma, exaltedness. Exactly. It's the contrast. Now we're going down. And then v'nei, we're called the B'nei Yisrael. We're not called a mishpacha. Yisrael represents we prevailed. Ki sorisa im Elokim va'anoshim va'tucha. Sar. Klal Yisrael were called B'nei Yisrael. Yisrael miloshein sar, a prince. Sorora, authority. To prevail. Ki sorisa im Elokim va'anoshim va'tucha. And here we're being reduced to a mishpacha. And what about this mishpacha? We're not going beyond Ramah. We're going v'loy selchu. I'm not in the middle of the thought. V'loy selchu roima. You're not going to go roima. It's going to be ki esra. Further ki esra. Esra. Obviously, this is loshon noifel al haloshon. These words are very similar. Listen, Rashi. Rashi. No. I'm sorry. You have to. There's a time to ask. There's a time to ask.
Where is the time of my
question? You'll figure it out. You have to. You figure it out. You're a smart guy. The Persians are very, very smart. You're a very smart person. A lot smarter than many of us. The right time. The right time. Let's go further. Rashi v'lo selchu roima v'lo sehachun v'koyma zikufa. You're not going to go with your head up high. It's going to be a humiliating experience. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak pasik. Pasuk Gimel, and then we'll stop. Pasuk Gimel, the Radak. L'chein al ha-mishpach ha-zois heim am Yisrael. Ki nikra ha-goy mishpacha. K'moy v'im mishpachas Mitzrayim lo'y saleh. If the mishpacha of Mitzrayim will not ascend. So here he goes to show you another part of Yal mishpachos asher b'shimcha lo'y korohu. The goyim. He's not developing this idea that I mentioned. He's just trying to prove you that the word mishpacha is a term that is commonly used in Tanakh to refer to a nation. But when you pay close attention, you never would dare use this expression, this term, in reference to Klal Yisrael, because it's a derogatory way you refer to a nation. We use it in reference to Egypt. We use it in reference to all the nations that do not pay attention to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, we do not, as I said, you do not make us like the Mishpachos Hu Adama.
We have it in every sense, that we use the word Mishpacha again and again. Masa, you had it all the time.
V'chein Omar Gam Kein Al Yisrael Oid Al Kol HaMishpacha Asher HaLeisi Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the same pasuk in Amos, when we are not behaving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used this term. We're adding a word to the pasuk. According to all the mafarshim, the word tzavroi seichem really literally makes no sense. You take the pasuk literally, that's the beauty of Tanakh. You're able, you have no choice but to embellish the psukim with more words. And that's when it opens it up, opens up the game, opens it up wide for many interpretations. So far, because the literal translation makes no sense, lesamish misham, it's not going to be removed from there, your neck. Doesn't make it, what do you mean your neck? It means add a word into the pasuk. For lesamish misham, the oil, the yoke, meet ernamem, meet savroi seichem. The yoke will not be taken away from your neck. You have to add another word into the pasuk, plus a mem before the tzavar. You will not be able to remove your neck from this yoke. You're not going to be walk roima. The word roima is in the same grammatical form as the word koima, toiva. Omar Kevan Shayut Sav Roy Sechem Takasal Hara, Tiyun Nichnoim, you're going to be humble, Velo Suchlu, Lalachas, Bekoima Rama, you're not going to be able to walk, Bekoima Rama, Bekintikim Yenison, Lo Sahun, Bekoima Zukufa, you're not going to walk with an outstretched neck. Okay, now the other interpretation is, Velo Samishu Misham, okay, this is more of a drush, we have to leave maybe tomorrow, is that it refers to the Beis Hamikdash. It refers here to the Beis Hamikdash. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going, you're not going to be able to save the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash now is under attack. In the time of the Churban, Titos, Harasha, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bayis Sheni, it's under attack. So you think you're going to be able to extract the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, you're going to be able to save the Beis HaMikdash from Churban. How? War, negotiations, politicking, lobbying, you're going to be able to bribes, you're going to be able to save your tzavar from the enemy. Hashem is planning Ra on this mishpacha, and the Ra is, don't think you're going to be able to extract, and by meaning extract, it means to save Misham from this dangerous situation, tzav roi seichem, your mikdashos. Your holy places, extricate or preserve your holy places. A mikdash, here is Moshe Rabbin. It's really a reference to Golos. A mikdash is called a tzavar. Why is it called a tzavar? So this goes back to the Chazal we mentioned, because the neck of the body is what connects the spirituality to one's physicality. The lower portion of the body, below the neck, it's all physical, okay? It's your enjoyment, your body, your hands, your legs, v'chulu v'chulu. Your head is spiritual. In this world, there's Shemayim and there's the Aretz. The Shemayim is HaShemayim, Shemayim LaHashem. It's a place of spirituality. This world is a place of Gashmias. Where in this world is the Chibur, is the connection between Shemayim and the Aretz? The Beis HaMikdash, or this room. This Beis HaKnesses. This Beis HaKnesses is the tzavar. Just like on the body, the neck is what binds the spiritual portion of yourself to your physical portion. The physical portion is the neck. So too in the big picture of the world, Shemayim is the Ruchnius, the earth is the Gashmius, the tzavar is what brings it together. That's why Yosef, he cried on the neck of Binyamin. Because Binyamin's portion would be built the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. Mishkan Shiloh, that's it, for 369 years was destroyed, and Mishkan Shiloh was built in the portion of Yosef. So each one cried on the neck of the other. That's what Rashi and Chumash says. They cried over the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh, over the Churban of the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni. Here it's saying, it's the neck. Don't think when Hashem plans that there's going to be a Churban, you're going to be able to save your holy places. A Churban, when there's a Churban, the Churban comes to the holy places. Not much is left in Europe and in Poland and Hungary, what used to be. The holy places are all gone. Ruba de Ruba. Very, very... What? Okay, that's the simple pshat. I'm telling you, and I am part of the Torah. The first pshat, we said the first pshat. We went to the pshat of Shah Klar. The oil hatsava. Absolutely, the oil hatsava. But I am part of the Torah. We have to take note that that's a little bit of a forced pshat in this pasuk, because the word oil does not appear, and you have to inject the whole idea of the yoke from your neck is attached to a yoke. You have to extract it. But that's the pasuk pshat. No one's denying
that. I don't think Ashkenaz says that.
Oh, they don't. It's a different gear, right? Listen, the Berachas HaMazon also. The whole. Some say it's a mistake. But there's a Rashi and Chumash. Don't forget the Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash is all of the Yisoides. There's almost nothing. There's not even one Yisoid. It is such a terrible shame that we don't know Rashi and Chumash. Chumash and Rashi has every Yisoid of Yadus. It's all there. It's all there. There's so much just totally ignored. And Rashi says klar that savar is a code word for a mokoyim kadosh, a holy place. It's the chibur between the ruchnius and the gashmius. When churban comes, it's total. It will destroy even your holy places. You're not going to be able to extract, save, preserve your holy place when churban comes to the world. They didn't leave Kristallnacht. They destroyed the shuls. That was the first thing they destroyed. They destroyed the shuls. Not many holy places, if any, are left. Even the Beis HaKavaras were desecrated and destroyed. When the Goy comes, they don't care. They're not going to just coming for us. They're coming for the holy places. And that's what it says. It says nothing's going to be spared. It's a very frightening pasuk. Atem hadvekim ba'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom.